Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, today I'm going to talk a little bit more about Dogen. For those of you who are here today that are not familiar with him, he's a famous Zen master. And I'm blocking, I can't remember right offhand, but I think he's either in the 11th or 12th century. And he is in our lineage, the lineage that Clear Mountain Zen is in, the lineage that I was made a teacher in. Generally, people who pick up anything that Dogen has written have a very difficult time understanding what he's saying. Also, interestingly, all the way back in the 11th or 12th century, Dogen was a feminist. At a time when Zen and Buddhism in general was almost exclusively male, he passed the Dharma to women teachers. It's almost unheard of. But yeah, Dogen is very, very unconventional. And also unconventional in the way that he writes and speaks. I gave a talk maybe a month ago now, 3 weeks ago, about an excerpt from a famous sutra that Dogen wrote called the Mountain and Rivers Sutra. You know, one of the ways that we look at a mountain is from a distance. You're driving on a highway and you're heading out west on Route 80 or something like that, or you're in Europe or in Asia. Usually we see, though, mountains, whether it's the Himalayas or whatever mountain range it is, we see the mountains from a distance. And Dogen, in this sutra, invites us into the mountain, invites us to experience the mountain not only from a distance, but directly. And this is sort of what's being expressed in the Mountain and River Sutra, and that was the talk that I gave. Today I'm going to speak a little bit about the language, the way in which Dogen expresses himself. And one of the reasons that he's difficult to understand is because he uses what is referred to as intimate language. He uses intimate words, and he uses them when he writes, when he speaks, and even when he is silent. And for Dogen, intimate means close and inseparable. It means no gap. Silence and gesture are both part of direct, intimate communication. Now, if we compare intimate speech with conventional, what do we notice? Well, conventional language carries the expectation that it will convey knowledge and/or explanation. Intimate language does not provide knowledge or explanation. What it does is offer an expression. It is the language of oneness and requires a different ear or eye than conventional language. And in my mind, this is very similar to when, for example, jazz came along and most people were experienced in hearing music in a particular way. And then jazz came along, and you needed to develop an ear, a certain type of openness to really hear jazz, to appreciate what was happening with that music. It's also, I think, similar to when abstract art came along. It was a different representation of reality than people were used to. And in order to appreciate it, in order to get it, the receiver had to develop a different eye for art. We'll read a little interchange between Zhao, who was a famous Chinese Zen master, and a monk. Zhao Zhao asked the newly arrived monk, "Have you been here before?" And the monk said, "Yes, I have been here." Zhao Zhao said, "Ah, have some tea." Later, he asked another monk, "Have you been here before?" And the monk said, "No, I have not been here." And Zhao Zhao said to that monk, "Have some tea." The temple director then asked Zhao Zhao, "Why do you say have some tea to someone who has been here and have some tea to someone who has not?" And Zhao Zhao said, "Director?" "Yes," replied the director. Zhao Zhao said, "Have some tea." Now, that's one of those conversations that if you try to understand with a conventional mind, it will make no sense. because it requires, or it is, an expression of intimate speech. It's not the same way of communicating as we can communicate conventionally. Now I'm going to read this excerpt without commentary first, just so that your ear is familiar with Dogen's writing, the way it sounds. And this is, again, from the Mountains and River Sutra. He writes, "The mountains and waters of the immediate present are the manifestation of the path of the ancient Buddhas. Because they are the self before the emergence of signs, they are the penetrating liberation of immediate actuality. By the height and breadth of the qualities of the mountains, the virtue of riding the clouds is always mastered from the mountains, and the subtle work of following the wind as a rule penetrates through to liberation from the mountains. The green mountains are forever walking. A stone woman bears a child by night. If one doubts the walking of the mountain, one doesn't even yet know one's own walking." Now that's intimate speech. And part of what goes into connecting to intimate speech is the experiences that arise out of the practice of Zazen, the insights. Because what Zazen does is leads us down a path to becoming more intimate with ourselves and with the world around us, and even the language that we use to express those experiences. So I'm going to take you through this very briefly. My goal is not to necessarily promote understanding, but hopefully give a feel for intimate speech. So the mountains and waters of the immediate present. The mountains refer to the existence, the mountains refer to existence or the phenomenal world, and waters to emptiness. So the mountains and waters of the immediate present are the manifestation of the path of the ancient Buddhas. Form and emptiness are the activity of the mountains themselves. And this is what the ancient Buddhas taught. Because they are the self before the emergence of signs. He's referring to the mountains before conceptual thought, before we identify them as mountains and attribute characteristics to them. Because they are the self before the emergence of signs, they are the penetrating liberation of immediate actuality. And what he means by that is, they are the direct, unnamed experience. That's what he's pointing toward. Not the conventional way of relating to mountains, but to the intimate way of relating to mountains. And he goes on to say, "By the height and breadth of the quality of the mountains, the virtue of riding the clouds is always mastered from the mountains, and the subtle work of following the wind as a rule penetrates through to liberation from the mountains. By the height and breadth of the quality of the mountains, the virtue of riding the clouds," and he's expressing there, the virtue of riding the clouds is transcendence, is liberation from the conventional. "And it's always mastered from the mountains. And the subtle work of following the wind," meaning transcendence or liberation, "as a rule penetrates through to the liberation from the mountains." So in essence, what he's talking about is form and emptiness, mountains and rivers, are beyond conception and are not something that exists outside of ourselves which must be attained or understood. It's a truth which must be revealed or expressed. So again, like jazz or like abstract art, Dogen is not talking to us in the conventional way. You will not get the heart of this if you try to be logical. It's not A, B, C, D. It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 is plus, and 1 is plus. The green mountains are forever walking. This is a famous line And so what does this mean? Mountains walking, the green mountains walking. So when I first hear this, you know, my mind makes this picture of mountain with legs walking off into the distance, disappearing over the horizon. But the walking, he's talking about the natural activity of the mountain. That the mountain is not dead, it's not a thing, it's very much alive and very active. So this is the natural activity of the mountain. Form and emptiness expressing themselves simultaneously, resulting in all things changing and all things being impermanent. So if you stop conventionally thinking about it, you can feel how dynamic an expression this is and how dynamic mountains really are. Anybody who's ever hiked or camped in mountains, no, it's exquisite, the activity of a mountain. There's just so much happening in a mountain, on a mountain. And when you're there long enough, you become that mountain. You become part of that activity. That's intimacy. And the way he's talking about it is intimate. And then the other famous line, so it's, the green mountains are walking forever, and a stone woman bears child by night. This is similar to the virgin birth in Christianity. A virgin woman is emptiness, and Jesus represents form that arises from emptiness. So a barren woman is representing emptiness, and she bears a child representing form, or the universe of form. But that's such an intimate relationship, that activity. The woman is never separate from her child, and the child is never separate from its mother. They're two different identities. They're always connected. They're always intimate. So the choice of language that Dogen uses is intimate language. The language itself is the thing that he's talking about. It's not separate. I would ask if there were any questions, but I don't have any answers. So thank you.